The St Albans Film Guide with Simon Carver, hosted by Danny Smith.
Welcome along to another edition of the St Albans Film Guide. And I should start off as well by saying thank you to a friend of the show, Chris Aikman, and to producer Sam for being here last week while I was away. And thanks as well to Simon Carver, who's always there. So hello, Simon.
Hello, hello. Yeah, it was good last week. It was a different sort of feel with a little triumvirate of people involved. So it wasn't just the normal dialogue that we have. It was, is there such a thing as a trialogue? I don't know. Anyway, it's what we did. And it was, yeah, it was good. So thanks to them.
Yeah, okay. Although I did find myself listening to it and shouting at the speaker and you know, things like I couldn't believe it seemed that none of you had any sort of internet access whilst recording it, you know, that nobody was able to look things up and it was, you know, I'm sort of shouting Spielberg and things like that at various points. You know, there's a thing
we don't have your encyclopedic knowledge.
Well, it's a combination of reading around what we're about to talk about and then also having things like the internet right at your fingertips. Mm. But it seems that...
Well, you're sort of preparation beforehand.
Well, yeah. Having like read a little bit about the films you're about to discuss and things like that.
I suppose you could do that, yeah.
It will never catch on. Anyway, let's go to your first choice this week. So what we do, by the way, if you're new to this, we look at the films that are going to be on free-to-air TV for the forthcoming week. And Simon makes a choice of films and I make one as well. And we start with Simon's first choice for Friday, the 31st of July, 10 p.m. on Channel 5, Bridget Jones' Diary.
Yeah, 12 years old now, Bridget Jones' Diary. It all started from Helen Fielding's newspaper column. She used to write about what she was up to as a 30-something Londoner, how many fags she'd smoked and how many units of alcohol she'd drunk and all that sort of stuff. And so who are you going to get to play this sort of 30-something-year-old Londoner? You're going to get a Texan, Renée Zellweger. I mean, and it's quite extraordinary that you forget that Renée Zellweger isn't, you know, a sort of born in the home counties. It's a fairly remarkable performance, I think, and she's gone on to play it twice more. It's based on the Jane Austen story, Pride and Prejudice.
Okay.
Yeah. So you've got Mr. Darcy and his protagonist. Hugh Grant and Colin Firth are the men involved, and they're very good together. You know, Hugh Grant, the sort of the caddish character, and Colin Firth, the rather boring, upright character.
Wholesome.
Yeah, well, you could say wholesome, yeah. He is quite boring, though. I mean, it's very much the same sort of character he plays. He played a little later in Love Actually, I think. Same sort of idea.
Yeah, well, there's in this sort of genre, there's not a lot of originality, in my opinion. But it was interesting as well, because at the time, you had, I think there was a degree of criticism in Hollywood for casting Americans in British roles. Because you also had Gwyneth Paltrow did Sliding Doors, which was, not too long before. And actually,
Shakespeare in Love as well.
Yeah, but in each instance as well, I think the accent was spot on. I think Renée Zellweger totally nailed it. If you didn't know that Renée Zellweger was actually Texan, then I think you'd be very surprised to find out she wasn't English. But then, I mean, how many times have English people cast as Americans? So, you know, it's probably not really a fair criticism.
Yeah, but. And how many times was Sean Connery cast as all sorts of things as well? You know, I mean, he was a chameleon.
Oh, yeah. didn't he in the same year play a Russian and an Irishman and you know, both with that same Scottish brogue? Yeah. You know, no attempt to hide his accent. Although if you pay close attention, I think in the early Bond films he was trying to be less Scottish, but I think as they went on he just didn't care anymore. Mm. You know, he let his own voice kind of creep out anyway.
Yeah.
Bridget Jones's Diary, 10 p.m. Channel 5, Friday the 31st of July. My choice, following on from last week, Chris suggested as one of his film choices Sherlock Holmes, and would you believe it, they've got the sequel on to the Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes film that was one of Chris's choices last week. Sherlock Holmes: A Game of Shadows is on Friday 31st of July, 10:45 p.m. on ITV. The detective investigates a series of seemingly unconnected crimes all around the world and becomes convinced one man is behind them all, the elusive Professor Moriarty. He sets forth on an international journey to bring the evil mastermind to justice, but finds he's dealing with a foe who is his intellectual equal. Detective thriller sequel starring Robert Downey Jr., Jude Law, Noomi Rapace and Jared Harris. And also, I think, Stephen Fry playing the Sherlock Holmes' brother. Is it Mycroft Holmes?
Yes. I was going to say, Stephen Fry playing a tall, posh bloke.
As he does. Well, one of the things that I always love about Sherlock Holmes, and I just think the genius of Arthur Conan Doyle, is he creates like the world's smartest detective, but gives him a smarter older brother. And that when he gets stuck, he has to go to his older brother for help because he's the smart one in the family. You know, I just thought that in itself was genius. You know, the Sherlock Holmes being like the world's greatest consulting detective, but he's actually not even the smartest bloke in his family.
Yeah. Smartest bloke in the room, but as long as his brother's not there, sort of thing. Yeah.
Something like that.
I said last week that this was something of an homage to you, in that that you would have chosen Sherlock Holmes had you been there.
Yeah, and these adaptations, that, I mean, it's Guy Ritchie, it's a lot of style over substance, which I think is pretty much what Chris said last week, but it is done rather well, and Robert Downey Jr. is really good in this, Jude Law's good, and also all the lots and lots of the adaptations of Sherlock Holmes, they kind of get Holmes right, but they often get Watson wrong, and quite often he can be played for laughs, played made to be a look like a fool, you know, a comic foil, and that isn't how he was written at all. You know, he was a doctor, he was quite a learned man, and I think that they got him right with this, in much the same way that with the BBC adaptation of Sherlock, that they've made Watson far more of a rounded character than he can be. But anyway, that's Sherlock Holmes: Game of Shadows, Friday the 31st of July, 10:45 p.m. on ITV. So we move then to Saturday, the 1st of August, and we have Apocalypse Now, Final Cut. This is 9:30 p.m. on BBC Two. Explain.
Yes, this is from 2019. The original film, I think, was 1979, because we watched it on our honeymoon, I remember.
I don't recall that.
No. That's because you weren't there. You were.
Well, you say we.
You were a small child. In short,
you mean you and the current Mrs. Carver, don't you?
Yeah, in short pants you were. So it must have come out in the year before we got married. There's already been another version. There was in 2001 there was a Redux version. But this is the final cut created for the film's 40th anniversary, hence 1979. It's 30 minutes longer than the original. Not the original was a terribly short film, but actually it was only 2.5 hours, so this is just up to 3 hours now. And there was a scene set in the French plantation that has now been put back in. It's a classic film. Again, this is based on a novel, whereas Bridget Jones was Pride and Prejudice, this was Heart of Darkness, Conrad's book, and it's about Martin Sheen travelling up the Mekong River to terminate Marlon Brando's rebel command with extreme prejudice, which means he's got to bump him off. I mean, there are some fantastic set pieces in this. The Playboy bunnies in the jungle, the helicopter attack with the Wagner music in the background, and of course famously Robert Duvall saying "I love the smell of napalm in the morning." Quite a few famous faces are there. Harrison Ford and Dennis Hopper were there, and I got a feeling there are a few others in very small parts who went on to bigger things, which I've not done my homework and look them up.
Lawrence Fishburne, you might be referring to. He's in there as a very young man.
Am I? Yes. Well, let's say that I am. It makes me sound as if I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, he was in there. So yeah, so the Red X edition that came out in 2001 of this was 197 minutes long, whereas this version is only 183 minutes long.
Right.
And they put in a lot of extra things, including quite a controversial one featuring the Playboy bunnies, and they've taken part of it out again or something like that. It was felt that under today's scrutiny, the scene didn't quite stand up. It was almost tantamount to sort of blackmail and rape, that particular scene. And they decided that it takes something from the film to insert it, and so they've changed it.
Yeah, right.
It's a classic film. It's often on lists of, you know, one of the greatest films of all time, and yeah, some really powerful moments in there. That's Apocalypse Now, the final cut, which is a version from last year that Francis Ford Coppola apparently is saying this is the one to watch, not the original one, and not the very long one from 19 years ago. And it's 9:30 p.m. on BBC Two. My choice. Very different movie indeed. It's Saturday's choice, but it's technically on Sunday morning at 12:55 a.m. on Sunday, the 2nd of August, on Channel 4, and it's Brawl in Cell Block 99. A former boxer is blackmailed into performing a prison hit by a ruthless drug kingpin. Crime thriller starring Vince Vaughn, Jennifer Carpenter, and Don Johnson. And this is very, it's very reminiscent of those sort of 70s sort of grindhouse B-movie type things. It's done that way on purpose. It's written and directed by a guy called S. Craig Zahler. And in fact, this is, I think, the third movie that he's done. Yeah, he's the guy who did Bone Tomahawk. And then he also did, after this film, one called Dragged Across Concrete. Dragged Across Concrete was a cop thing with Mel Gibson and Don Johnson playing his boss. And in this one, you've got Don Johnson again, but this time playing a rather sadistic prison warden. But it's interesting as well, because it's one of the very few times that I've seen Vince Vaughn in a relatively straight role, somebody who's known often for comedy. And in this, he plays this former boxer, this big fella who ends up being blackmailed to go into prison to take out a hit on somebody, and then, you know, basically an awful lot of violence ensues. If you look for something that's not too, you don't have to think about it too much, and you sort of like the sound of something that plays homage to those sorts of cheap movies of the 70s, then this is the one for you. Brawl in Cell Block 99, Sunday the 2nd of August, 12:55 a.m. on Channel 4. Let's move then to Sunday properly, and Simon has chosen on the 2nd of August at 10:30 p.m. on BBC One, Dangerous Liaison. Based also on a novel, isn't it?
So far they have been. Glenn Close is the vindictive Marquise de Merteuil, and Michelle Pfeiffer is the pure wife, despoiled by the slimy Valmont, played by John Malkovich. I mean, John Malkovich, he's pretty good at slimy, I think. I saw a picture of a still from the film, and I suppose it's fairly obviously, bearing in mind this is 32 years old, he did look very different. Younger man than he is now. Stephen Frears directs. It's a film set in the 18th century, and it looks great.
Yeah, and it's a great adaptation. I mean, for as much as it's a period piece, it feels very modern. It has the way it tells its story. It's very good, and also has been adapted more than once. There was a teen version of this some years later that was modern day, called Cruel Intentions. I don't know if you recall that, but that was with Sarah Michelle Gellar, and that was a reworking of this story. Am I right in thinking as well that this features Keanu Reeves?
I don't know. Hang on.
We're both typing rapidly.
Liaisons Dangereuses was another version, which is just the same thing in French, isn't it? Let's have a quick look. Yeah, the novel.
Keanu Reeves is in this.
Is he? The novel is was published in 1782.
Okay.
Yeah. And there was a play in 1985 with that gained the French title by Christopher Hampton. But this one.
So, yeah.
Yeah, this one was 1988.
Keanu Reeves is in there. Uma Thurman's in there, and Peter Capaldi is in there as well.
Crikey.
Yeah.
So Peter Capaldi, this must have been before. This was before the Local Hero, wasn't it?
No,
it's Local Hero after that.
No, but Local Hero was before this.
Was it?
I would have said so. I would have said Local Hero was very early 80s. This is late 80s.
Yeah, you're right. 83, Local Hero. Yeah. He's a busy boy.
Isn't he just? Anyway, that's Dangerous Liaisons, 10:30 p.m. on BBC One on Sunday the 2nd of August. My choice for Sunday the 2nd of August is a film that I've not seen listed before. And when I saw it, I thought, oh, I remember that from years ago. Although it was 10 years ago. But it's called The American, and it's a film with George Clooney. And it was one of his earlier cinematic escapades. And he plays an assassin. And there's not really a lot to the story. It says here, a hitman's resolve is shaken when he's nearly killed during an assignment and decides his next mission will be his last. While waiting for details of the target, he lies low in an Italian village and tempts fate by forming a friendship with a priest while pursuing a relationship with a local woman. Now, it doesn't say who's pursuing the local woman. I can't remember now. Is the priest pursuing the local woman or is it George Clooney's character?
I can't remember now. I mean, you've seen this.
I guess, yeah, a long time back.
Yeah.
My guess is it's probably George Clooney pursuing the local woman.
It's not that old, the film, though, is it?
10 years old. But it,
oh, right.
I don't know, it feels older.
Well, no, you were saying it was one of his early cinematic things.
Well, I was trying to think of what he did before this, but I guess he'd been... We mentioned One Fine Day a few weeks ago. That was at least 14 years before this, so I guess it's not really that early. This very much feels like a European film in every way, except that George Clooney's the star of it. You know, looking at the cast and looking at who made it and where it's set, everything else is European. I think, you know, I'm guessing Italy, because that's where it's set.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's very beautiful. It's all these places seem to be deserted. These places where he's hanging out, which is presumably is part of why he's there, because he can sort of chill out. It's not an area I know incredibly well, but it is...
Because you know Italy, don't you?
Well, I do, but this is Abruzzo, which is not an area that I particularly... Umbria is the place that we quite like to go, but this is slightly further south and slightly further towards the Adriatic. Well, it's on the Adriatic, in fact.
Right.
But yes, it's there are a lot of really remote places. I think they have quite a few sort of... the fauna there, lots of sort of wild boar, and I think they probably have wolves and things. You know, it's quite remote, the hill country there. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway,
and this too was based on a novel, so just to sort of try and keep up with your wordy adaptations there that you've chosen so far. But yeah, that's The American, a lesser-known George Clooney film, but a good thriller nonetheless. Sunday the 2nd of August, 9 p.m. on Sony Movies. So let's move to Monday, the 3rd of August, and 11 p.m. on Talking Pictures is the film Billy Liar.
Yeah, I mean, around that sort of time, Tom Courtney was... he was in films. He was on stage. He was one of the actors of that generation. I don't think he's quite so sort of. I mean, he was knighted, wasn't he? But I don't think he's not held in the same view as some of the other knights of that era. It was a stage play, written by Keith Waterhouse and Willis Hall, who wrote quite a lot of stuff. And it was directed by John Schlesinger. So I got my tongue around it. It's a blend of social realism and satirical fantasy. He's an undertaker's assistant, Tom Courtney's character, who escapes from his mundane existence into the Neverland of Ambrosia, where he is the supreme dictator. And he included in this film are Judy Christie, Helen Fraser as the two of the women in his life. Wilfred Pickles is another great British actor of that era. Mona Washbourne, and a name that younger people might recognise, Leonard Rossiter, is his boss.
Rigsby,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's Billy Lyre, 11 p.m. on Talking Pictures. John Schlesinger, I can't say it now.
No.
Schlesinger, an English director. And I was thinking, oh, where do I know his name from? And then I looked at his credits and he directed Midnight Cowboy and Marathon Man, amongst other things. Mm. So, you know, quite a prolific director. But yeah, that film, 11 p.m. on Talking Pictures TV on Monday, the 3rd of August. Over on Sony Movies Classic is my choice for Monday, 9 p.m. And it's The Man Who Knew Too Much. And this is the 1950s version. Mm. Because Hitchcock rather famously directed this twice. He did it as a silent movie, or at the very least it was because he did movies in Britain, didn't he, before World War II?
Yeah.
And then some of those, or at least this one, maybe some others as well, he remade in Hollywood after the war. And this was one of the ones that he remade.
Okay. So that must be quite unusual, a director remaking. I'm trying to think of other examples. I'm sure there are loads, but I can't think of any.
No, I think
directors
it
who
quite
remade
unusual.
Their films again.
Yeah. It probably is unusual, but yeah, Hitchcock remade it. So originally he did it in 1934, and this is the 1956 version, the most famous version. And this is James Stewart and Doris Day in there. And it's about an American couple on holiday in Morocco who witnessed the killing of a local man they have befriended. Before dying, he whispers a secret that has serious political implications, but they are prevented from telling the police when their son is kidnapped by a gang of spies bent on keeping them silent. And this is the film where Doris Day's Oscar-winning song Que Sera Sera came from.
Okay.
And if you've not seen it, the way that she performs it, it's so moving and it's so emotional. You think of it as quite a jolly, happy sort of song, but in fact, the way it's done in the film is remarkably somber and quite emotional. Have you seen this one?
No, I haven't.
There's a bit where as the guy's dying right at the beginning of the movie, and James Stewart sort of grabs his face, he takes makeup off of his face, and rather famously, he sort of like ends up with all this sort of makeup on his hand to show that the guy was not really as dark skinned as he appeared. But the way that they did it in reverse. That actually James Stewart had white makeup on his hand and smeared it across the man's face to make it look like he had taken makeup off.
Yeah.
And sort of one of Hitchcock's many sort of little tricks and things that if you ever watch any sort of documentary about Hitchcock, they normally show you something of that. But anyway.
Do you want to hear some directors who made their films twice?
Yeah, go on.
It's quite tricky with some of them because they didn't use the same title.
No.
Michael Mann. Which one?
I'm trying to think which one.
Takedown.
No, go on. LA Takedown, which was then Heat, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I mean, there's only 6 years between those.
Yeah, but one was a TV movie and one was a full cinematic thing, wasn't it? LA Takedown was a TV movie. It was then he remade his Heat in 1995.
Yeah, it was. That's true. So I mean, you could sort of understand why that happened. John Ford made Judge Priest in 1934 and then remade it as The Sun Shines Bright in 1953. And yeah, there's a Japanese one, Yasujiro Ozu. 1934 and 1959. Grief. That's quite a big gap between. And Raoul Walsh made High Sierra in 1941 and then made it as a Western in 1949, calling it Colorado Territory. Well, wasn't that fascinating?
learn something new there. So the only one that people might have heard of is Michael Mann, but there have been a couple of others.
Yeah.
I mean, Michael Mann, one could argue, if you're going to count Heat and LA Takedown, you could also potentially count Miami Vice. You could say he's done it twice, because he made the TV version of Miami Vice, and then he made the film version some years later.
Yes. Yeah, but the TV version was a series, though, wasn't it?
Yes, it was a series, yeah. But that is a stretch again. But then equally, LA Takedown was a TV movie. But was admittedly a one-off thing because they're made.
Yeah. I mean, you do get quite a few TV shows that are made into, but I suppose they're not necessarily directed by the director who makes the film.
It's very rare that they're made by the people who made the TV series. That Miami Vice was one of the exceptions, as was the X-Files movies that they did two of, were made by the same people who made the TV series. It was written and directed by the same people. Right, let's move on to Tuesday, the 4th of August, and Simon has chosen... this is a good film. This is 11 p.m. on Five Star. This is the first film I became aware of Nicole Kidman. This is Dead Calm.
Okay. I got a feeling it was on Tuesday that I also had a sort of one of those sort of shivery moments, you know, somebody walking across your grave or something.
Well, I guess you will be getting that on Tuesday, won't you?
Yeah, Triangle. I think this is on Tuesday.
It is. I was also thinking of the other thing you're going to be watching that could be
true. Yes, it could be a horror show as well. But no, Dead Calm, it has a similar sort of premise, you know, horror going on a boat. They were both... was Philip Noyce Australian? Don't know. Anyway.
I believe so.
Nicole Kidman definitely is. But they became Hollywood superstars through this film, Dead Calm. It's a very simple premise. A couple, played by Nicole Kidman and Sam Neill, take a yachting trip.
Who's from... Is he Australian as well?
I can't think he might be a New Zealander.
New Zealand. Yeah, no, Philip Noyce is an Australian.
Okay.
Clearly this is made by a team of people from
that part of the world. Yeah. It's the Australians. They take a yachting trip to recover from the death of their young son, but when they rescue the sole survivor from a sinking schooner, things take a very nasty turn. And it's a very small cast. Billy Zane plays the survivor of the schooner.
He was the villain in Titanic, wasn't it? Well, aside from the iceberg.
Yeah, he's also the one with the plucked eyebrows.
Yeah, he has big eyebrows. I believe they have their own agent.
Yeah, they're very plucked.
Yeah, and he's not from Australia. Chicago born.
No, he's American. Yeah.
Yeah. That's Dead Calm, a really good thriller, and it's so claustrophobic because it's the cast is just them, isn't it?
I think so.
I don't think there's anyone else in the movie, which potentially is a spoiler. I don't know, but a great, great film, and that's on 11 p.m. on. I'm just looking at the cast now. There are other people mentioned in the cast, but certainly those are the three main people in it. 11 p.m. on Five Star on Tuesday, the 4th of August. Now, on Tuesday, I was struggling to find something that I thought was that I'd seen before that I could recommend. And so I've taken your trick of choosing something I'd like to watch. And there was a film from 2018, which I don't believe you've seen, called Roman J. Israel Esquire.
No, I've certainly not seen it. I did notice it in the listings and I thought I'd never heard of that.
I'd heard of it, but I didn't know too much about it. But it's Denzel Washington, Colin Farrell and Carmen Ejiogo. And it's about a driven, idealistic defense attorney, who's Denzel Washington, who gets mixed up in a series of events that lead to a crisis and the necessity for extreme action. And it's a crime drama. And I kind of think Denzel Washington's always quite watchable. And so, you know, this has got to be worth watching.
Yeah.
Surely.
I watched The Equalizer 2 the other day.
What do you think?
It wasn't as good as the first one. I mean, it just felt very episodic that, you know, these various sort of things were happening and they just tried to sort of fit them together. But it was quite, you know, a bit more violent than the first one as well, I thought. But.
I think they'd upped that, hadn't they? Mm. And did you know it's being made again? And it's coming back as a TV series, The Equalizer. And it's with Queen Latifah. playing the role that Denzel Washington's played on the big screen.
What?
A reimagining of the 80s TV series The Equalizer, this time centering on an enigmatic woman with a mysterious background who uses her extensive skills to help those with nowhere else to turn. And it's also got Chris Noth in it, who I think was in, is it Law and Order?
Yeah.
And The Good Wife.
Yeah. And also, what was that awful thing?
Sex and the City?
Yeah. Yeah, you, as soon as I said that awful thing, you knew what I was talking about.
Well, that, it's the only other thing I know he's ever done. So, but yeah, it's been they've done a pilot for it, and it was going to be made into a series starting this year. But because of the COVID outbreak, they've not yet filmed any of it. But the pilot episode, it got picked up. So
it was an episode of Doctor Who. Chris North.
Really?
Yeah.
No, you're kidding me.
No, I'm not. It was very surreal. It was
okay.
A couple of years ago, he was in an episode of Doctor Who.
Well, there you go. But yeah, the we're not talking about the film Equalizer 2 or anything else. But no, Roman J. Israel Esquire is... Because that in America, if your name has Esquire on the end, it means you're a lawyer, doesn't it? That's how they use that. Yeah, right. Yeah. If you're a lawyer, you put ESQ on the end of your name. Whereas here, it means something different, doesn't it? Don't you put that on the end of children's names? Something?
No, it's just, I mean, it's a bit old-fashioned now, but it instead of putting Mr., you'd put a squire on the end of it.
Right. I just remember as a kid getting letters from the bank, you know, like the children's sort of savings account, and it was always to Danny Smith Esquire, as opposed to Mr. Danny Smith. Is that,
yeah, I think it's just sort of a rather old-fashioned way of doing it. It was when you graduated from Master Danny Smith.
Ah, right. Okay, well, anyway, I'm not a lawyer in America, in case anyone was confused by that.
Yeah.
And nor have I ever been. Anyway, that film was Tuesday the 9th of August. Sorry, Tuesday the 4th of August, 9 p.m. on Film 4. So let's move to Wednesday, the 5th of August. And Simon has chosen on 11:05 p.m. on Film 4, The Dressmaker.
Yeah. Another Aussie film. Kate Winslet plays... this woman who comes back to a small town with a sewing machine.
Not another one of those.
Yeah, yes, it's a bit like sort of...
I get tired of
it. I'll be back with a sewing machine.
Yeah.
It is based on a novel. It's funny, actually. I hadn't realised that so many of these things were based on novels this week, but there you go. It's set in the early 1950s. She comes back to... Dungatar, a dusty, gossip-ridden town where she grew up, and she's got a score to settle. Her mother, known as Mad Molly, played by Judy Davis, who you don't see so much now, but she was...
Another Aussie actor?
Another Aussie actor who made it in Hollywood. Doesn't remember having a daughter, which is not great, is it? While the chief of police, played by Hugo Weaving, is distracted by her flamboyant attire.
Another Aussie, actor from that region?
Yes. She was Parisian trained, Kate Winslet's character, and she makes flashy dresses for the locals, which causes lots of issues. And she has a romance with Liam Hemsworth, another Aussie actor. The townsfolk are played by a lot of well-known supporting actors, Australian supporting actors, and it's a lovely film. It's a tragicomedy. It's funny, but it's also quite poignant as well.
A tramedy, if you will.
If you will, yes. But I probably won't.
Tramedy, if you must.
Yes, if you must. Yeah.
Okay, that's The Dressmaker, 11:05 p.m. on Film 4 on Wednesday the 5th of August. My choice for Wednesday night, 9 p.m. on ITV4, Passenger 57. Do you remember this?
Vaguely rings a bell. Go on.
This is basically Die Hard, but it's Wesley Snipes, not Bruce Willis, and it's on an airplane.
Okay.
So from 1992, after his wife is shot dead during a robbery, a cop hands in his badge and takes up a job offer from an old friend to be a security advisor for a major transatlantic airline. On the flight, taking him to his new employers in Los Angeles is an international terrorist being escorted to trial by the FBI, while the prisoner's accomplices are disguised as passengers and crew and plan to hijack the plane.
Ooh.
Action thriller with Wesley Snipes, Bruce Payne, Tom Sizemore, Bruce Greenwood and Elizabeth Hurley in a very early film role.
Okay.
It's basically Die Hard on a plane, but Wesley Snipes, not Bruce Willis.
Right.
But if that sounds like your sort of thing, then, you know, it's really good. The action is great. It's got a lot of pace to it. It's a really good action movie. And it really shone a light on Wesley Snipes and, you know, set him up for being something of an action star, which he did a little bit of that. And he did some comedy and then he didn't do his taxes. And then he was, you know, put up for, put up at Her Majesty's Pleasure, but they don't call it that over there, do they?
Oh, did he do time?
Yeah, for tax evasion.
Oh, right.
And then he fled the country and he was in Africa for a while and eventually came back and faced his, time. And then Sylvester Stallone put him in an Expendables film to sort of help him out.
Oh. Yeah, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, Passenger 57, a good movie. If you like your diehards and that sort of thing, this is the movie for you. 9 p.m. on ITV4. And then we move to the final day, Thursday, the 6th of August. And Simon has chosen on Film 4 at 11:25 p.m. Me and Earl and the Dying Girl.
Yeah, this is quite an unusual title for a film. Yes. Greg is a young man who hangs out with a girl who is suffering from leukemia. And Earl is his mate. And the two lads, teenagers, make these spoof films, sort of parody films, just with a sort of a camcorder and stuff, and they're really funny just in themselves. A Sockwork Orange, a Senior Citizen Kane, and things like that. They're just very funny. So this is another very poignant rom-com, a romantic melodrama. It's lots of wit, and it's also very very heartrending as well, and adapted by Jesse Andrews from his own novel. This is quite unintentional this week, but I think all bar one, all bar dead calm Billy Lyre was a hit on page and stage. So all bar dead calm were, and who's not to say that Dead Calm wasn't a novel? Well, I think I'm not to say that, because I don't think it was, but anyway, yeah, good film.
Perhaps you could novelize it and then, yeah, then you could
yeah, it'd be a wrong way around though, wouldn't it? But yeah,
well, okay, anyway, Me, Earl and the Dying Girl. Olivia Cooke, is she an English actress?
Oh no, hang on, hold on. The screenplay of Dead Calm by Terry Hayes was based on the 1963 novel of the same name by Charles Williams.
Boom.
Yes, indeed. So all seven from novels, and I didn't even know it. How about that?
That's well done.
Yeah,
I can tell you're impressed.
Mm.
Yeah, well, one of us needs to be. Olivia Cooke, who apparently was received a lot of plaudits for this, is an English actress. She's from Oldham in Lancashire.
Okay.
And also she played, I don't know how to sort of delicately put this, but she played somebody with a very, very serious illness in Bates Motel, if you ever watched that, the TV prequel to the Psycho with Vera Farmiga playing Norman Bates's mother, Norma Bates.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the interesting things is this, she played the sort of friend stroke love interest of Norman Bates, who himself was played by an English actor.
Yeah.
Pretending to be, so they both were playing Americans, but they actually both were English. But anyway, that's yeah, little fact about Olivia Cooke.
And Connie Britton plays the mum.
So Olivia Cooke's from Britain,
and Connie Britton mum is called Britton.
Yeah,
yeah. What are the chances?
It's just a circle, isn't it? It
is.
Just forms a
circle.
Yeah,
yeah.
Anyway, right, and my choice, my final choice for Thursday, the 6th, and Simon, while I'm saying this, will be thinking about his film of the week, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
My final choice of the week is a British film. So it all links. And it's What We Did on Our Holiday, or if you want, Outnumbered the Movie. This is 10 p.m. on BBC Four. A couple whose marriage has hit a rocky patch take a trip to Scotland with their three children to visit the husband's father on his 75th birthday. They try to conceal their marital strife to avoid spoiling the occasion, but have to contend with the kids giving away all their secrets. Comedy drama starring Rosamund Pike, David Tennant, and Billy Connolly.
Mm.
And have you seen this?
I did. I saw a preview screening of it with Andy Hamilton there. And at the end of the film, he said, go and tell your friends about it, but don't tell them what happens.
Well, I and you didn't.
Yeah, and I didn't. But no. Yeah, it's very good. Yeah, very good. I had no idea what it was about, really. But apart from, yeah, the Outnumbered, the movie idea. Because a lot of it was unscripted. The kids, if people don't know what Outnumbered is, it's a sort of semi-scripted thing with Hugh, what's his face? Yeah,
Hugh Dennis.
Dennis, yeah, and somebody else,
Claire Skinner.
Yeah, playing parents, and then these three kids. Three kids, or was it four? Can't remember.
No, there's three kids. Three in kids. Both.
Yeah, and I can't. It's not the same three in this, is it?
No. So they're different characters, but they have different names. They're essentially the same character.
Yeah.
It's a very similar husband and wife with three children. Although in the movie, it's two girls and a boy, whereas in the TV series, it was two boys and a girl.
Ben Miller plays the. Is he the David Tennant's brother or brother-in-law? Can't remember.
Brother-in-law? I'm thinking.
I can't remember now.
I can't.
And he's got all these sort of gadgets in his house, and the kids sort of mess them all up and all that sort of stuff. And Billy Connolly plays the sort of the wise old granddad. And there's also another quite a nice little role from another Scottish actress. Who I'm going to find quickly.
Celia Imrie? Annette Crosby?
Annette Crosby. Yeah, Annette Crosby. She she plays somebody who's sort of a rather wild woman who I think lives on the beach. Something like
that. Okay, yeah. I sort of vaguely recall that now.
Mm.
It's a great film. It doesn't go the direction you think it's going to go, does it? Without giving anything away.
No, it doesn't.
It's not, which is good, because it's not, you're not just thinking, oh, you're just going through the motions, you can see what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
It does take a big old turn partway through it.
It does.
But very good, very very well done, very poignant, and good, very fun. And the other link to Outnumbered is it is written and directed by the same team. It's Andy Hamilton and Guy Jenkins who co-directed it and co-wrote it, as they did with Outnumbered. And I interviewed Andy Hamilton on my old radio show, and I asked him about the movie, and I cannot now for the life of me remember what it was I asked him. But I asked him something I thought was quite insightful, and he gave a really good answer about how it came to be, and I cannot remember it to save my life. Maybe I'll try and see if I can find that somewhere and share it on another occasion. I've always liked his work. I think his work on television, he's a great comedy writer.
Drop the Donkey was very funny, wasn't it?
I loved that series. It was so well done.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's it. That's the list of the films for the week. Simon, which of those would be your film of the week?
Me and Earl and the Dying Girl. I remember when it came out thinking it was really good. So that's going to be my choice.
Okay. And I think I'm going to go with Passenger 57. I was tempted to go with What We Did on Our Holidays, but I'm... Passenger 57 is going to be my choice of the week.
Okay.
So the list of films that we have both just recommended can be found in the description of this podcast and on our website at stalbanspodcast.com. And thank you for that, Simon. The the films of the week. The artwork forms part of this episode artwork as well. Depending upon how you're listening to this right now, you might be looking right at that artwork and seeing those posters. So you might have already known what the film choices were going to be, because that would be on there from the beginning. You might have been staring at this for the last sort of 44 minutes.
Oh, right. I didn't realise it was on that soon.
Yeah. So the artwork includes the poster for your film of the week and my film of the week.
Right. Yes.
So there's no suspense for anyone else. They're waiting for me and you to spit that out because
they know
it's already there. Yeah.
Which is quite extraordinary, because at the time when we start, we don't necessarily know, do we?
No.
And yet they do know. They almost know more than we do.
I know. Imagine that.
Yeah. It's like magic.
Yes, isn't it just?
Okay.
Anyway, Simon, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
And we will catch you at the same time next week. And yeah, thank you very much for listening. More podcasts where this came from the Sonorous Podcast Network, and including Simon's other podcast that he does, which is the Dagenham Street Online Services, that are out Sunday mornings, aren't they?
They are. They're out just after Harbour State, I think.
Yeah, so check that out as well. If you've never been to church before, it doesn't matter. You know, if you like Simon talking about movies, hear him talk about his day job. There you go. What more of a plug could you want?
Brilliant. Yeah, do listen in.
All right, great stuff. See you next week, Simon.
Okay.
Thank you.